time to time as well. And, you know, having that lived experience from a community like that, and also I lived in remote communities growing up, I'm able to sort of see how policies affect us as Aboriginal people and see how they fail us, you know. And when I walk into a community like Alice Springs, I can see that this is a community that has extraordinary trauma. This extraordinary trauma is intergenerational as well. These areas have not been addressed enough. And also having the knowledge of cultural protocol and who I can speak with and who has the authority to speak with, and having to ask those questions, I focus more on what's the feeling here. Like, you hear the same reporting coming out of Alice Springs when something bad happens, and then there's a knee-jerk reaction. But, you know, I think this time was a lot different compared to anything that's happened in the past in Alice Springs. And my approach was to, you know, this has been a tough week for them, for everyone. And I just really wanted to know how they're feeling, and I wanted to put that in my reporting and get that across to our readers.
Douglas, in some of your reporting this past week, you wrote that Alice Springs is a town often divided down racial lines. Locals know it as a welcoming place, but one that only comes to national attention on issues of inequality, crime, and social unrest. What have locals and Indigenous child advocates told you about what should happen now and what needs to happen to prevent something like this from occurring again? You've touched on some of that there, but what are they saying has to happen?
You need politicians to come together, really. There can't be sort of two sides to this, and obviously there is, but there has to be a bit more collaboration, bipartisanship in the way that they approach, you know, dealing with issues facing Aboriginal social disadvantage. And they will say all the time when something bad happens in Alice Springs, they're used as a political football, and that is the case, and they want that to stop. Then they see a knee-jerk reaction from a government that doesn't have any long-term ability to improve things on the ground. They want long-term solutions. It's hard to sort of place a policy on something to help a community if you've never been there, if you've never actually experienced what these people are living. If you have the lived experience, you understand a bit more what this community is going through, and it has to stop being government doing what they think's best for Aboriginal people. Aboriginal people know what they need. They just need to be able to provide the ability to do that, and that's what they're calling for.
Well, Douglas Smith, we really appreciate your time and your reporting on this issue. Thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
That was Douglas Smith, Indigenous Affairs reporter for Guardian Australia. You can find more of his reporting from Alice Springs on theguardian.com. If you or anyone you know has been affected by this, there is a confidential crisis support line for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders available on 13 Yarn. That's 13 92 76. Listeners can also call Lifeline on 13 11 14. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria. Sound design and mixing by Miles Herbert. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. I'm Noor Haidar. Thanks for listening.